when I was in prison.
Gosh.
No. Wow, you're getting awfully metrosexual in your old age.
Softer.
You're getting more and more in tune with what's hip and what's with it and what's going on.
I had not noticed that.
Oh, no, no.
He just learned about undershirts. I don't know.
I was going to text you because you would have been the only person to really tell and then have the reply of I'm proud of you, was I wore an undershirt Saturday.
You did?
Yeah, I'm under my polo.
Yeah.
Because I would be in front of people. And now you've made me afraid of being in a polo in front of people.
And you didn't want to have headlights poking out. Didn't want to be a turkey timer. I get that. Yeah.
So there I am in the closet pulling it out. I should text the boys.
So you have one undershirt?
It was a pack of five.
Oh, okay.
Did you just buy the pack of five for this one
event? No. I had purchased them after you had given me a little crap about it. I had purchased the pack of five a while back. So this would probably be the second time I have worn an undershirt with another shirt.
You don't wear undershirts under a dress shirt?
I rarely wear a dress shirt.
Well, what about your Western gear for church?
Yeah, my Western wear for church, but no, that I just wear the shirt.
That's it? Mm-hmm. Aren't you cold?
Aren't you
pitting out?
No. No, I'm not like you.
Yeah, I don't.
This is new to you.
Yeah.
But I don't just sweat by having my eyes open.
Oh, shut up.
He's sweating right now.
You probably sweat in your sleep.
62 degrees in here. It's shy giant.
I'm wearing a jacket.
Oh, speaking of Mitch being very ill, I don't know. Mitch being dumb.
Okay.
I feel like I have to warn you. I saw a mouse in here.
Well, I'm not surprised.
I want to make sure. Was it Thursday or Friday?
Oh,
I was cleaning out the fridge. Yep. And
every time Aaron leaves a rolled up bag of chips laying on top of this table, I am just absolutely shocked that we don't come in here to just a shredded pile of foil and the remnants of the potato chips.
Bunch of little black tacks laying around.
I just cannot believe it. But yeah, no.
Why are you looking at the ceiling? They're not in the ceiling. They're running around the floor.
They could be anywhere. You got a giant overhead door that you leave open and piles of trash everywhere. And
oh, my gosh.
Why we don't have a possum or a raccoon in here?
You've got boxes from when you moved, what was that, 4 years ago? Three?
It was three.
Stuff that you definitely will need someday.
Yeah, you're going to have to cut this out.
Dude.
You got it.
Yeah, you're going to get me in trouble.
It's a rodent hotel. Of course there's a mouse in here.
It is not a rodent hotel.
No, that's why he's keeping his jacket
on. They came and they left.
He'll probably have to shower when he leaves here.
I can't go out to eat knowing that.
I've been in a lot of farm shops.
Okay, well.
Yeah, but did you go to eat after being at those farm shops?
Wash your hands. You're fine.
Here?
Here? Well, I don't know. That's like a mouse pool in there. The sink that doesn't drain. That's where they bathe, probably.
I'm just envisioning like a Ratatouille deal going on in there when I'm gone.
Well, they probably see the toilet and stay the hell out of that room. Like even a mouse is, good. What's going on in there?
My hygiene is so poor that even a mouse is like, I'd rather not. It's not that I'm dirty. It's that I'm lazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, just.
Oh, that's good.
Because it's
quite
not like
the distinction.
It didn't start clean. If it started clean, then you could give me more shit. But this thing, that toilet's been dirty since Reagan was president. So not a whole lot I could do other than replace that sumbitch.
Get it.
I'm not doing it.
Get a cleaning lady. Or cleaning guy.
For this room? I mean, come on.
Yes, for this room.
Yeah.
All right, pony up then. I ain't paying for that shit.
Why, you get all the sponsorship money.
No, we have a new sponsorship today. Yet another one that Aaron has in his pocket.
Got so, another one.
Yeah, another one.
Yep, that is two. Yep. I have 200 bones that I need to turn over to you. Yep, so this episode is brought to us by The Chicken Ranch, brought to you by Harrisburg Eye Care. Hmm. See Dr. John Boer, formerly of Sheldon, Iowa.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He's a Sheldon native.
He's a Sheldon native. And his wife is from Middleburg.
Aww.
Oh, yeah.
Good Dutch.
Now up in Harrisburg.
Like, grew up in Middleburg or near Middleburg?
I think right next to Middleburg.
Wow. Because one of the within city limits, that's a very, that's very like small
four people. Yeah, right.
Four group or five. Of people. Yeah.
Yeah. Met at Dort, a true love story.
Yes.
She wasn't even from Canada.
No, he wouldn't do that.
No, really?
He wouldn't settle for a Canadian?
No, he would not take a Canadian bride. I can guarantee that.
Wants his children to be full-blooded American or what?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's a man's man.
I've had two employees now that have had the Canadian girlfriend. You can hear me doing the air quotes. Although one of them, I think, is married to her now. So I give them credit for that. But
oh, so this was a real girlfriend.
Yeah.
I was thinking they got scammed on the internet.
No, it's not.
I got to send her 1,000 loonies and then she can come down and visit me.
Huh. So speaking of girlfriends, we've talked about my young employee who is now a senior.
This is the
at
one
Trinity,
the one that whose parents found out that he was slept in from work on this show.
Yeah, had to lie to mom that it was a late start at work when he skedaddled out of the house at 9 a.m. Actually, listened to this episode.
Good.
Then he was punished.
Good.
No, I don't. Anyway, so he turned 18 this summer, so he's one of the older ones in his class, and gonna sidetrack a little bit here, which I like to do. Mm-hmm. And he'll be like, "Well, my mom and dad really wouldn't like that." And I'm like, "You're 18, man." I said, "You're your own man." I said, "You tell mom and dad."
That's how that works.
Did you regale him with stories of you packing a pack of Marlboro Lights
right in front of mother?
What you gonna do about it?
And then go,
"Oh my gosh, they're not mine."
But I say that to him because I know I mean, he lives in their house for Pete's sake, right? So anyways, he's telling me, "Hey, I can graduate on like the 15th or something of May. But the last day of school is like the 11th or 12th. I got to go back to that stupid graduation." I said, "You're 18. I said, "Don't go. Why do you have to go to that graduation?" I said, "You don't have to." "Well, my mom and my dad would probably get mad." So I said, "You're your own man. You're a man.
Yeah.
You don't have it. You're working. You know, you don't got time for this dog and pony show.
Celebration of a work." Yeah, whatever.
And then he's just...
Hooray, you had a birthday.
You can kind of see the wheels turn. And then I had to stop him and say, whoa.
Okay, I'm kidding.
I am joking. Okay? Your mom and your dad, probably even this year, have paid a lot of money for your education since you were a wee boy. You're going to listen to them when they tell you you're going to go and accept that thing in a very nice looking cap and gown. And you're going to take pictures with grandma and grandpa. I was just joking.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
what
boy.
Kind of seed you planted there? So I think we've had this conversation before, but am I remembering right that both you and I did not go to our college graduations?
I did go to mine.
Oh, you went to yours? Yep. Okay. I didn't go to mine.
It was silly, but whatever. But I had been out of school for like 2 weeks, so it was kind of a time to get together with your buddies.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So that's... But anyways.
I didn't go to mine because I had to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my young lad, he comes in like a month ago and he's like, so he works after school. So he comes up to the front to the office. I was like, "Oh, Gavin, how's it going?" "Really good. Yeah, really good. I got a girlfriend now."
Oh, what? Really? Just freely offering up that information.
Well, we always give him crap, you know. "Hey, you know, any prospects on the horizon?" So, right, he finally has an opportunity to be like, "Yeah, I do. Look, I got one." So I'm like, "Oh, have you gone on any dates?" "No." "Have you gone? Did you like go to her folks' house and watch a movie or anything?" "No. No, we're talking over Snap."
Oh, jeez. And that's called your girlfriend?
Yes. And I said, so you just take, no, boss, you don't understand. You know, you snap everyone, and then you snap with words to the girl. And then she snaps back with words, and then we're a couple.
It's wow. Like, oh.
No.
Didn't have any idea. Yes,
this that is how it most works. People did that in third grade, passing notes back and forth.
Yeah, how did you equate that to AOL Instant Messenger?
I didn't. I just marveled at this whole thing because I'm like, really? So you're just snapping each other and you are now exclusive.
But they've never hung out.
Not at that time they had not. Now they have, thankfully. But...
Were there other couples?
So now
there
are they
too?
Engaged?
Right. There's other couples.
Yeah. Now they're engaged because they spent time together.
They spent time together. Their parents have signed a document. There's donkeys and a camel switching sides or something. It's very interesting. So anyways, they've everybody in school knows now because they're both seniors. Man. You know, what was absolutely hilarious, the day he tells me this, he's so proud to tell me that one of the first things he tells her, I'm not moving. I'm staying right here. He made sure she knew before anything went any further, they weren't leaving Northwest Iowa.
If you
want to move, that's a deal breaker.
You said, I've been to Sioux Center, and that's as far as I need to go.
Or as far as the church elders need to know I go.
Right.
Because there's always Hudson. Yeah.
But God's light doesn't shine there. It stops right at the border.
So, it's like, oh, wow, Gavin. Oh, you really... And he's told me that three times. I've told her. I'm not going in. So it's because within he's Protestant Reformed, so you have a couple pockets within the United States. You got your Michigan, obviously,
right.
Couple very small by Chicago, and then over in Colorado. So that's going to be where you kind of shift between. If you want to move somewhere, you're going to go where there's a church of that denomination, and that's where they're found. So for him to lay that down, I just thought, wow, okay, you really
and
she
went
was,
from
she was fine with that. All right, well, let's get married. Say the vows.
Went from having never spoken in person, I mean, or at least not as a couple anyway, mm-hmm. to just going to lay down the law right
that's
now.
That's right. You know, we ain't. You know,
Christmas
nowhere.
Is coming up. There might be a ring.
That's right. Ring by spring.
I'm so happy for him though. He went to her folks' house, and I'm like, so her dad and mom like hung out with you, or what is it? Yeah, a lot of the time they were there. I was like, oh, you're really getting after it. Good for you,
Dad. I told her. I told her I'm not leaving, just like you said. Thanks, son.
It's so weird though the way kids do that now. So Wyatt is in sixth grade. He's 11. He's just on the cusp where. He, you know, I've been teasing him about having a girlfriend or a crush for mm-hmm. years now, and it's always been, no, girls are stupid. Blah, blah, blah. Well, now he admitted he's going to be pissed if he listens to this, by
that's
the way.
All right.
When? But he admitted that he has a crush. He won't say who, and he's never told anyone because he knows his friends have big mouths, he told me, which good that you figured that out mm-hmm. at a young age. But I said, well, do you talk to her?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, at lunch or whatever once in a while.
I was like, does she know you like her?
Well, no.
I said, well, just tell her you like her. Tell her you think she's cute or you think she's funny or whatever it is that you like about her. I don't care.
Dad, you're so dumb.
I know. I'm like, just say a nice thing and ask, you know, hey, would you want to hang out sometime? Like, I'm not really ready for my son to start dating, but I'm trying to coach him on like how this is supposed to go, right?
So I think, but there's a very important thing that you're going to have to teach him, and it's going to be, son, you are a geese. You are my son. So it's very important that if you do ask her out, you don't do it in some sort of sarcastic asshole tone. What? So she knows that you're serious.
Well, no, I didn't feel the need to tell him that exactly. I'm not sure where that's coming from. But he's like, no, that's not what people do. And I come to find out later, he's one of the only kids in this class who does not have a cell phone yet. And he's like, well, no, my buddies have a girlfriend. They just text him. I'm like,
sure.
So Colton, one of his friends, has a girlfriend, quote unquote. And I'm like, so Colton has a girlfriend, but doesn't actually talk to her. Well, no. Like, then it's not his girlfriend.
And the thing is, if they would ever come face to face, they'd be lost.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
They wouldn't know how to communicate.
I know.
Let's just text.
And that's what I'm trying to push him to be a little more old fashioned. Because I'm like, you're going to come across as this super confident stud compared to all these other guys. Because, I mean, I was too shy and not forward as I should have been.
Tell him that part?
Yes.
That when you were young, you were too shy?
I do.
And son, I'm like, it might be tough to believe, but your dad wasn't always the catch that he is.
No, I'm not saying I'm a catch.
I mean, I used to be, but I mean, right now.
I'm saying if I had been more confident as a young man, I would have had more success in dating and stuff. And that still goes today. But if he even has the level of confidence that I had back then with limited success, he's going to look like an absolute stud compared to his peers, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, when they can't even talk face to face, if he can even say hello, they're going to be like, wow, who's this guy with the giant set who can walk up to me and say, hi, you know? Hi.
but I wonder if he folds like a bad poker hand when the women walk in or across that gal.
What's your name? Dad didn't tell me what to do now. Oh, the boy's got some anxiety.
How's Asa doing with his? I know he was running around with a gal for a little
bit. Yeah,
he
was a third wheel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so his bro had a girl that he was interested in, and then in order to make this work, she would invite a friend, and then his bro would invite him.
Right.
And that's good. That's a nice opportunity.
Hey, that's being the wingman.
Being the wingman.
That's right.
And, that's all right.
Because there was a wingman and a wingwoman at that point.
A wingwoman.
Yeah, but... And I don't know. He's so focused on sports and
energy drinks.
And well, now that's not so much energy drinks now. Now it's protein and creatine and lifting.
Did you find your horse pills?
No. I know where they are. They're at the office.
Now I'm sorry I remind you.
I tell you what, I could draw a tree with the amount of segues I could do with just what we've talked with so far. But ever since it's been pointed out that I'm just a segue king, I'm really sensitive to it.
Oh,
but
speaking of being sensitive, right.
So yeah, I don't know. You never know if he had a girl, but I just really doubt it. I think he's focused on. Being a goof, you know, and like we had parent teacher conferences last week, and I went to one of his classes, and the teacher, the class that's like not band, and you know some of the more easier A's, like the ones you have to work to get an A, he's doing really really well in Spanish, right?
Que sorpresa!
And I'm like, so what's the deal here that you can do so well here and not so well here? Well, none of my bros are in that class, so don't really get to screw off at all.
Did he say bros?
No, I don't think he says bros.
I hope not.
I just say bros. None of his bros are in the class, so he doesn't. He just has to sit there, and there's nothing else to do
but except pay attention,
and then he can get an A.
Would you look at that?
Imagine that.
Yep, and then there's these other classes that his bros are in, and they just horse around the whole time, and I don't know why I'm getting a C+ in there. Yeah, no, I think you do.
I got a pretty good idea.
Yeah. I think you do.
So what do you do to curb that?
Nothing.
Do you?
Okay, so look. he could go to whatever... I shouldn't say it because that's not true. He could go to a very good college if he wants to, maintaining the grade level that he has. He's just not going to get any scholarships.
Right?
You're just going to have to pony up and pay. And when you get to college, he'll probably, hopefully, have enough brains about him.
Come on, basketball scholarship.
Right?
Don't think so. And, you know, as in the words of my father, he'll buckle down, because hopefully in college you're like, hey, what I'm aiming to get here, I like, so I'm going to right. try. Mm-hmm. And
well, what was the transformation for you? Because he's living your life. So what was it when you actually made the left turn?
I think it just, you know, you turn 18 and you get there and you're like, okay, I need to. And maybe it was they just weren't my types.
True.
They weren't my type of bros. And just sitting in
God,
that
quit
room.
Quit saying bro. My God.
You don't like that?
No.
They weren't my...
Yeah. Wayne's very anti-bro for some reason.
I am anti-bro. What do you want me to use instead?
They weren't my kind of friends.
Wayne was... Wayne
compatriots.
Wayne was bullied by people who are bros. Oh, okay. So he's very sensitive to
they
the
weren't
term.
My muchachos. So
that's racist.
So, but yeah, it's like, well, I have to be in here, and this has every the beauty of a tech school is 90% of it has to do with what you're going to be doing when you get out.
All killer, no filler.
Yeah, they've cut a lot of the fat, and so for me, it made sense to pay attention. But for Asa right now, yeah, he'll and it, one of the teachers was like, you know, his grades, it just they come and go in waves, and I've tried to make them correspond to different things going on with extracurriculars or in his life or what we're studying, but it makes no sense. And I'm like, well, it corresponds with his give a shit. And it comes and it goes.
And goes.
It's a giant pendulum.
It is. And that's and I said it in a nicer Christian school atmosphere way. But that's really what it is. I said if he would decide that this is important to me, like world history, he's doing really pretty good in world history, but he's got friends.
Bros.
He's got friends in there, and that kind of hurts his participation level a little bit, but he finds it interesting what they're talking about. So then he cares.
So that's an interesting, like an interesting look at his level of self-governance, because you're obviously not buckle down. You need to buckle down. No, yeah. So he's kind of left to his own devices that way, to figure out like where him finding the bumpers along this road. It's an interesting look at who he will be, Aaron Jr.
You know, I would be, and of course all the teachers are like, he's just not meeting his potential. It's true. He's not. Now I've got other kids coming up that have to work hard to get what they achieve. Mm-hmm. So then the conversations are all going to be quite different. And if they have a problem with paying attention because they have friends in class, oh, now we really have a problem, because then you're not looking at, oh, I'm average. I'm well below average.
I kind of feel like we should get your sisters in on this podcast sometime to hear.
Well, I explained that to one of my teachers. I said, I have a sister that's a year younger than me that wouldn't go to sleep the night before a test without 100% assurance that she would get every question correct. She would nearly kill herself to achieve perfection. And she still is that way. And then there's me. And we came from the same stock somehow.
And good enough. Good enough good is enough. Good enough.
Good enough.
Well, it is eye opening though. Like, well, having kids in general, but then you go to parent teacher conferences and then they say stuff and you're like, oh, son of a. I remember very vividly Wyatt was in kindergarten because there's our neighbor, Mrs. Rosenboom. And she was showing us his homework, and she said, yeah, you know, Wyatt does really well. I've noticed he finds a way to technically do the work, but if he can kind of, you know, cut a corner here and there, and it was still correct, and it's, you know, he still got the grade or whatever, but, you know, it's showing me that he didn't want to put forth the effort on it. And she brought out, it was like, they were learning patterns at the time, and you had to color. There was like a series of stripes on a page, and you had to color it in a pattern, you know, so, you know, red, blue, yellow, and then repeat the pattern. And she's like, you know, you can see it. He didn't color it very neatly because it didn't matter. So he didn't try in that regard. And she's like, and you notice one of the colors he chose, he was the only kid in the class who chose white as one of his colors. She's like, and he was the first one done, and he sat there and looked at a book or something.
Wow. 2/3 of the work.
And Greta looks at me and she's like,
Damn it. He sounds, because that's me.
Right. Don't work hard, work smart.
I know. And, you know, that works for a while, but then when you get older, then you didn't learn how to, you know, the cutting corners thing doesn't cut it once you get to calculus or whatever. Like, there's no cutting a corner. And then that kind of catches up with you.
That's when you become a lawyer. Lawyers don't need calculus. Lawyers need bullshit. You know, that's, I think that fits the deal well. Let's take, go ahead.
With that comment, I hope.
Here we go, segue.
I hope we hear from one of our faithful listeners out of Primgar with a sponsorship for next week, declaring that all lawyers are full of shit.
Well, he would not be an exception.
He wouldn't be trying to set the record straight.
I'm saying nothing of his legal expertise. But
he could be full of it.
Yeah, he might be a tad full of it.
Well, I've met the man. He's he's nothing if not a lawyer. Hey, look at the time. We're back with segment two next. I'm thankful and I'm scared kind of all at the same time. You know, Dave is younger. And so you both have older kids that you kind of know what to expect a little bit. We're still feeling it out. You know, Ava's 8. And the other night we were hanging out on the couch and somehow she was like on YouTube, kids YouTube or something, and found karaoke. So I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Okay, let's.
Oh, I hate being the center of attention.
No, and have a microphone in my face. This was not. I didn't want anything to do with this. No, because it was her doing it.
Yeah, there was no audience.
No, gosh. But she is, and I don't remember exactly how we got there, but a big fan of Tenacious D. Now, there's only so much of Tenacious D's catalog, if you're familiar with it.
Does anyone even know who Tenacious D is?
No, the basketball play.
No, it's a band.
Yep, Jack Black.
Jack Black, the actor.
Yeah, I know who that is.
Yep. So it started with Mario Brothers, or the Mario movie. You know, he was the Koopa.
Peaches.
Yep. And then from there, we watched School of Rock because, you know, we had...
That is a classic.
Absolutely
movie.
Right. And so that kind of got us down a rabbit hole, and that got us to the song Tribute. If you're familiar.
I am very familiar.
Awesome song. And it's clean. So I'm like, all right, yeah, we can rock this. So she's a big fan of it. So we put it up on karaoke.
It's clean most of the way.
And Becky and I were going back and forth. Like, we would see it on on Spotify or whatever, and it said it was explicit. And I'm like, I've listened to this song, you know, over a dozen times. I don't recall. I could almost sing all the words, but I couldn't find the swear words. Well, Ava found it. She was doing karaoke, and she not only said her first curse word, but it was the big one.
But she didn't. Does it really count if you don't know that it is?
But she enunciated it so well. She didn't.
Oh,
just,
she's heard it she before.
She does. Well, not from me. Not from me.
Do we? Okay, listenership. Mm. We're going to go ahead and take a poll on this one.
I'm recording.
I can hear everyone throwing their bullshit flag right now.
I'm recording her on Snap. You know, I'm recording a Snap just because I think it's cute. You know, she's getting into karaoke, and it was right at the spot where we found the old Effenheimer, and Becky's in the background, and you see her instantly just hand over the mouth and just
send that to Grandma.
It was classic candid photography there. I didn't even know she did it initially, and then somebody pointed out to me, oh, Becky's reaction was the best. I'm like, oh.
Whoops.
But then she's like, my mom could see that. Oh, wait. Oh, she doesn't have Snapchat. So, of course, I'll talk about it here now. And,
right, yeah. Yeah.
And we'll laugh. And we hope.
Well, when she says it at school.
No. You get your first paper home.
I got one of those once, too. And it was Wyatt swore. He said, damn it.
He was in preschool. He wanted to be the line leader, and it wasn't his turn to be the line leader. And they told him, "No, you can go back to your spot. You're not line leader." And he goes, "Damn it!" And we get a note home that says Wyatt swore today. He said, "Damn it," because he didn't get to be line leader. Blah blah blah. We asked him where he heard it, and he said, or why he said it, and he said, "Because I'm mad." And they said, "Well, that's not okay." He says, "Well, that's what my dad says when he's mad."
Yep.
And this comes home on a paper that my wife sees before I get home. And I no more than walk in the door and here's a sheet of paper shoved straight into my face. Like, "You want to read this?"
Sorry, Mrs. Jones.
I'm assuming it's not good. Whoops. So you're not the first parent.
Yeah. I know. It's just, it's so weird because there's not been like so much as even like a hell. It's just da da da. You know, everything is old fiddlesticks. Like, that's a common.
That's what you say.
That is a common phrase uttered.
Yeah,
in our
I think
house.
I heard that when that time when I heard you and another guy in a screaming match was.
That was in a different
dozens of fiddlesticks.
Yeah,
and you can take those fiddlesticks. Anyway, we've been very fortunate, and I think that, like, yeah, this is, I hope this isn't the shoe dropping. She even brought it up to me, I think it might have even been last night already, like, do we say something to her, like, "Hey, you said a word, and just so you know, that's not a good word to say." And I always equated it to what I was told in radio. The worst thing you can do, or the second worst thing you can do in radio behind swearing, is bringing up the fact that you swore. So anyway, the forecast for today calls for out. Where did that pay out? Oh, shit. Oh, God. I'm sorry I said shit. Oh, gosh. Oh, my God. All right. No, you just gloss over it. You let it go and move on. And she's like, and then she said something to the same effect of what you said. Like, "Yeah, that'll be fine until we get that note home from school." And it'll be that'll be a much different conversation. I said,
I think it depends. So some people, I've learned, don't listen to lyrics and think about what they mean.
Yeah.
Other people can repeat the lyrics from a song, but never comprehend what they mean.
And
if Ava is one of the 50% of society that knows the lyrics, but not what they mean, you're okay. If she knows it's some sort of an adjective or adverb that she can put in her pocket and use later,
the world's most versatile word, yes.
Then you're in trouble.
And it was used in a part of the song that was like filler. It wasn't like anything to do with the story. It was
in the world. Correct. Yeah, I know exactly the line. I can't believe you didn't remember that.
So, anyway.
No, I think you let her slide.
Yeah.
And try to be, you know, more discerning in what you're
allowing. I can't believe it was 3 days later and now you and your wife had a discussion about it.
No.
Finally.
No. I think this is not the first discussion.
I mean, that's a whole new level of passive.
No.
That I am very unfamiliar with.
This has been stewing and a brewing.
So now that things have settled down after 3 days of thinking on it.
And you putting it out on the world in front of the God and everybody on your Snap story. Which probably is seen by 15 people. So it's like, okay. I happened to use that because it was the easiest way to record her.
I saw it. Greta and I had a lengthy discussion about the quality of your parenting. And our opinion is that one slip up is fine, but if we start to notice a pattern, then, you know, we'll get DHS involved.
Did you also comment on the cleanliness of our house?
I didn't notice the cleanliness of your house, or I'm assuming the lack thereof, based on the way you said that.
I think from that angle, it looked pretty good. Uh-huh. Yep, because it was pointing down the stairs, and you couldn't see anything after the... Yeah, it was all right. It's all right. But yeah, she's getting to that age now where she is becoming kind of a smartass, and it's fun for a little bit, and then it's just like, okay, that's enough. I will
You have to be the mean dad?
I am the mean dad.
No.
Yep. I am the, and it's just, you know, we've had this conversation before. You find yourself becoming your parents. You know, the other day it was, oh, Ava, you need to do this, or hey, no, before you do this, you got to do this. And then it was, mom said it twice, and I said, Ava! Okay. And that was it. Now, I've not ever had to take the wooden spoon or any sort of other part of corporal punishment.
Not even the threat of it?
No, not even the threat of it.
Wow.
You just have to scream really loud, huh?
I think it's just because it's so out of character for me, because I'm a normal loving guy.
Yes. I get that.
Yeah. It's so upsetting to her just to see, because I don't even like you guys, but I love her. So I try to make sure that, you know, and it, I take that back. You guys are okay.
Well, I was fine with what you'd said.
That's fine. Whatever.
No, I was all right with that.
Yeah.
No, with Ezra, I mean,
we were under no illusion that you did. So
Ezra's our difficult child, and you just have to find early bedtimes are pretty effective. Taking away the hour, 2 hours that he might have accrued for that day away is a big thing. And then sometimes it needs to be a little bit more.
Well, is he allowed to do any sort of competitive activity at this point? Because it seems like every single time he does anything in a competitive manner,
tell me you signed the kid up for wrestling.
Not yet.
You have to.
I talked with UPS Seth. He says Sheldon Orb Wrestling, Little Orb Wrestling is no good. You're going to have to bring him to Spencer, he said. I said, but I don't want to have to go to Spencer.
You don't have to go to Spencer.
Yeah,
tell him why? He knows he's going to be a stellar wrestler.
Exactly right.
See, I need him to take out his anger on other kids. He's thinking, I want that kid in my club.
Yep.
Right?
100%. 100%.
He's going to be a state champ.
Yeah, because I don't think I told you guys how a teacher had divided the kids into two groups on the playground, and fair to Ezra means that he's on the team that will dominate the other team.
Right.
And if the teams are anywhere near equal or perhaps a little unequal, not in his favor, it's just the worst thing in the world. And he screamed at a teacher that's not even his, a dude teacher that will be his teacher next year. And then threw his little football gloves that all the little boys need to have to bring to school for recess.
Yeah.
And then he got booted from competitive sports, and
he needs an outlet.
Yeah.
So first it comes with your soft gloves parenting. You allow your children to play NBA 2K on super easy. That's where it comes from. Yeah, you're giving them unrealistic expectations.
I am 2 out of 3 with boys, 3 out of 4 with all. I have very good odds.
Yeah, but you got to take
look at you playing the averages.
You got to play sports against him, and I'm assuming you can still beat him at basketball just based on height advantage.
Alone, I would hope so.
So you got to go. You got to take him out in the driveway. Yeah, eight. Hey, throw up a 3. What? Swat that shit out of there.
Well, that's what Asa will do with him.
Okay, then then how is he not used to that?
No.
How is he not used to that? We don't know. We don't know. Huh. He just cannot.
He just needs an outlet for his aggression.
He just can't get this figured out where he just loses his mind. Sunday night, we were with our church family at the Vanderhaeg's Truck Museum, Yesterday's Memories, and we had a cornhole tournament. And I played with him because I'm like, if he plays with anybody else,
he's going to throw the bags at them.
Yes, if they lose, it will be all of my teammates' fault. But if he plays with me, he still thinks I'm, on a pedestal yet.
Right.
We lost our first game. He just couldn't take it. Just went and hid in like a 54 Oldsmobile and just cried. You got tear stains all over John Vanderhaeg's old leather. And it's like, shit, I gotta go find him before he punches a hole in a door of old Model T or something. So then the second game, we lost again. Oh, man. And then Nate Scherr can just see. Nate Scherr is a heart of gold.
He certainly does.
He's running the tournament.
So some boards are opening up, so he plugs us into play again, just hoping with hope, like me, that we can pull off a W and win the last game of the night, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's what they say. Walk you want to win the last game of the year.
Walk out with a smile.
Yeah. And we just barely pulled it off. And we played a father-daughter team, and then the daughter ran off and cried. And I didn't even feel bad about it, because I was like, thank goodness Ezra's over it. We won one. Yeah, go handle your daughter.
Yeah.
No, I finally got my boy fixed.
Yeah, maybe if you talk really nice to Nate, he'll have one more last one game against somebody else.
But that's, he just, I can't believe it. He's he's eight now and cannot stop with the aggressive, the anger, the competitive, knowing he's going to get absolutely beat up and still wanting to just blow up over a loss. I was like, dude, you didn't walk into this knowing you were going to get creamed?
I don't go onto Facebook much anymore, but I was on there recently and I saw you had, was it a deal from like Sunday school or something like that?
Yes.
Talked about.
It was a paper that my dad-in-law handed out to all the kids to.
Is it like a coloring deal?
Yeah, right? They can color. Well, it was Reformation Day. Known to you heathens as Halloween. And
touche.
Well, it was the Sunday before, I think. And he handed those out. And on that paper, it's like, have you and your parent nail this up somewhere. And I'm like, that is the worst. If Ezra would see that, he nails things. He nails decking screws to the wall.
Holding his photo.
Yes, his 8x10. And that's from like, that's 3 years ago, because we had Labor Day. We had finished our remodel and moved in. Early October, you had pitchers. They come back. He takes his 8x10, gets 2 3.5-inch number 8 Torx. Can't find the impact, so he gets a hammer and pounds screws through his 8x10 pitcher into his sheetrock wall. Hits the stud with one of them. The other one is flush. And he was so doggone proud that he'd hung his pitcher up in his room.
I can imagine the pride.
And it still hangs. I said, don't take it down now.
What? Well, you don't want to have to fix the holes.
At this point, it's probably load bearing.
Right. Pull it out, the whole thing might collapse. Yeah, but there is a hole in the wall upstairs that happened nearly immediately after we moved in that was under the little basketball hoop because the boys got to shoving and someone's foot went through the sheetrock. It's tough.
Is that
I just said, you know, we're not going to fix the thing till you kids are gone.
Is there any possibility that a rat could have entered through a hole?
No,
like
no, that's second floor.
Oh, okay. All right.
He was doing fine till you remind him that there's mice around there.
Yeah. It was underneath the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know how much food you've probably spilled under there?
How much food you've probably spilled on your face? Yeah.
I would set up some traps.
Yeah, I'm planning on it.
Get the glue ones.
Why?
That way they're alive when Mitch walks in.
No, you want the big glue, the rat glue traps. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can't escape. I know from experience.
People's most favorite episode, I contemplate
the hours of sleep that you've lost because of rodents in your life.
And that's the only time I've ever had a rodent in anywhere in my house.
100 yards of you.
And I'd like to keep it that way. Thank you.
Saw that your dad is retired.
Well, sort of. Yeah.
So he went from no longer farming your field now? Is that he's, I'm just down to my field now.
No. He shares rented ground. He and my uncle have a partnership and have for over 40 years. And, they're both old enough now. It makes more sense to split things up now versus
when your dad keels over.
And then heirs have to deal with it or whatever. So we are going, he and I, and probably my brother, are going to farm together on a portion of that land that they used to farm together. So
it'll be, sounds like fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be fine.
So you'll be up to 3 days of farming a year?
It'll be like almost no work now because, you know, we're going to split up machinery that we had to farm almost 2,000 acres.
Oh, so they're done farming altogether?
Together.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Yep.
Yeah, my uncle has his land, and then some of the other rented land is going away. So anyway, we're going to be farming more like 400 acres, but with our portion of the machinery that was intended to farm much more than that. So it'll literally take like 3 days to do tillage and plant in the spring, and then we're going to hire harvest done because it just doesn't make sense to own a combine for the amount that we're going to do.
But wouldn't it be fun to just have, I mean, you could still hire a lot of it out, but just have maybe one of the combines that Grandpa used.
Yeah.
Find an old,
three row something or other.
Well, and actually our main farm, it's where my mom grew up. My grandpa's last combine, have you ever heard of a uni? Anyone who's involved in farming knows what a piece of junk those are. So it was a combination picker, like to pick ear corn.
Okay.
/ combine. Mm-hmm. Absolute junk. You know, maybe for old time's sake, we should go find a uni. but I don't know. But
probably just have it run one of the two ways and never have to convert it.
Right.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that. And I don't want to fill the crib because that's where my whole thing with rodents comes from. So we're not going to do that again.
One last time, let's fill the crib.
Nope, not doing that again.
I'm just envisioning the guy throwing the pitchfork and nailing him.
It was like so impressive. It was like a trident.
That is so awesome.
Yeah. And if you knew the guy, he's the most mild-mannered, church-going man that there is. And I saw him...
Such a command of death,
just,
though.
Yeah, he looked like Poseidon throwing his trident and just nailed a rat on the run.
You shall not pass! Well, it's just a reminder that energy never dies. It just moves on to its next state. And sometimes that state is rats. Deep thoughts.
Yeah.
Back with segment three after this.
He asked us... Be you angels, and we said nay. We are but men, rock.
So you officially lost the election.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse got more write-in votes than you did.
I'm not gonna lie, I did look to see if anyone wrote my name came up.
Your vanity would not allow you not to check for that.
I had to check. I mean,
you gotta check.
You gotta look, right? I mean, that's.
But write-in votes aren't specified in the results.
Well, no, they're usually like scattering.
I think, isn't there a certain threshold and then they'll say who the write-in was or something? Isn't that how that works? But so apparently you did not. You were not above the threshold.
Yes. And maybe it has something to do with the fact that on every podcast I've said, oh, man, I'm good. I'm glad. Done.
I thought you were completely full of it.
I know. And I sometimes I wonder if maybe my steadfast resolve to not be on council anymore is just to, you know, prove it to you.
Now are you going to go back and like show up for the public comments section and just harangue all the council members?
I just can't believe you guys. You know, the reason I got
you
off this council is because you're all a bunch of sycophants. But
you're
good.
You're more free to speak on that side of the room than the other side because before you were controlled by the corporate interests.
Yeah, true. In the media.
And not to mention the the lobbies.
Yes.
Lobbyists really have a
hold. I know. You're going to have to buy your own lunch now instead of the lobbyists hanging around taking you out for a steak dinner every day.
Pay for your own vacations.
Right.
Pay for your own travels.
I think I can get written in.
Guess when we see the camper for sale, we'll know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fine. Just
two golf carts.
Yeah, you got two golf carts.
Well, the
only room in the upper echelon.
Well, actually, I have two golf carts and one tow rope. And so
they all three have to be used at the same time.
They do. That's actually been something I'm waiting for, that last warm day. I guess it's supposed to get up into the 70s next week, so then I will get the tow rope and make one of my employees ride in the back of the non-running one and illegally haul her over to the other side
the
of town. No, well.
Well.
Well, there's cameras out there, but you know they probably don't work.
Oh, my God. Oh,
boy.
No, I'm... I'm going to get it fixed, and then I'll have two golf carts. And you guys are going to be so jealous. Like, who else do you know that has two golf carts?
Not many people.
That's right.
What you should have done. So I was, I'm very familiar with Vanderwerf's auction. Mm-hmm. They have like two consignment auctions a year. And I had some hay feeders and a hay rake and stuff I needed to sell. And I thought, I decided I'm going to sell all this stuff. And I looked. Oh, well, you had to have everything over to the auction site already. Like, well, crap, what do I do? Okay, well, Zomers does a consignment too. Also a well-known auctioneering company. What they do is they come right to your house and they take pictures of and post it. That would have been the perfect situation for your golf cart.
Right. Yeah.
You could have done the works last time ran when parked.
It was parked in the middle of the trail trying to get back to the campground, but it ran when parked.
Yes, it did.
Well, I just think of that when you buy stuff on auction. Like even, so I had a snow pusher and it had a big dent because my dad and mom were gone and I'm like, I'll run to town with my snow pusher and push snow off the old Total Tire lot. And I'm just zooming along with the snow pusher and pow, I hit a concrete lamppost. The lamppost was gone. Been gone for probably 50 years, but the concrete block stood up like 4 inches. Just put a huge dent in the bottom of the snow pusher and the rubber piece on the bottom. Right. And I'm like, when they took pictures and I'm looking at the pictures, I'm like, you cannot see that dent. And they took like 30 pictures and even kind of zoomed up on that area, but because the whole thing is black, you couldn't see it.
It's fine.
If it's on an auction lot, consignment lot, it's like, okay, it's open for these 2 days. You can go poke around and look. They don't know where this thing is. They're just looking at the pictures. So it's like when the dude came to get it, I'm thinking, oh, God,
here we go.
I hope you don't say nothing. Oh, I hope you don't. But he did get he got a pretty fair price on it. So I loaded up and he didn't say nothing and away he went. But I thought, this is going to be the crappiest thing out here to put on a trailer because you could not see that there. And it didn't affect how it performed.
Right.
It performed just fine. It's just like,
it's cosmetic.
I just spent $1,000 on this thing and it has a huge bow in the bottom piece. And I remember I just bought it. It was like brand new, just cruising along and bam, just about sent me through the front windshield.
Did it bang as loud as Wayne's golf cart backfires?
Bam! Where the whole town turns
up. Whoa, what happened?
Shot fired!
Officer down!
The best was rolling through the Arnold's Park putt-putt golf area when that happened. And
I don't know if best is what I would call that, but yes.
And Ava's in front with me and Becky's on the back by herself and everyone's just like kind of looking at her. She's just like, oh my God, can we go now, please?
Pow!
And what was fun is with the new golf cart, like you knew the areas where it would pow. So sometimes I'll just pow! And she doesn't appreciate that either. I mean, she's got no sense of humor. I tell you what.
What a shame.
Well, that's a damn shame. It really is. But election season is over. When are the caucuses? I tried looking that up last night.
January something.
Why do you care?
Oh, just because I was wondering when the ads would be over from a freaking TV.
Yeah, we got a ways to go.
Then I looked up caucuses, and then somehow I was like on some sort of like it's a island in Europe or something. and that's where Caucasian comes from. And
you spelled it wrong.
I did. Yes, I did.
Okay.
Minnesota education. It's, what can I say?
U but, before A, except after C.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Sometimes Y. Yeah. But I do find it humorous where he was talking about the auction and buying people's mistakes. What are you doing tomorrow?
Oh, I purchased a hoop barn because I need somewhere to put the hay because I burned the neighbor's building down.
So how does one transport a hoop barn?
It's in three big 10-foot crates, each weighing like 4,000 to 5,000 pounds. And you just put it on a trailer and zoom.
Away you go, huh?
Mm-hmm. Leave it in the morning. Really excited. So if any of you would like a day off of work and just hang out and listen to podcasts all the way up and back.
It does sound kind of fun.
Not our podcast. Well, we could. And high-five each other.
Yeah, oh, that was awesome. That was so good. Oh, man. Oh, we're the rewind best. Play it back. Oh, I'm the funniest.
Oh, look at that. You guys see that editing job, how that fade happened? Oh. Who knew there were this many variations of the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
I said something funny, but it was aimed at Wayne, so it's no longer in the episode.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember that.
That's laying on the floor.
Oh, dang it.
You know what? You can either bitch or you can edit. You can't do both. Or
that's a pretty good deal.
I'll continue to bitch.
In other words, keep doing what you're doing.
Shit.
Well, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. What's the downside here? Just not putting this together.
Well, speaking of good deals, you have coming off a big win for Sanborn Christian.
Yeah, every year we have the harvest sale, and like I bumped into somebody today too. Boy, that just is a lot of work. Really appreciate all this work you put in. People really think that we put like every night for 6 weeks straight into this thing, and yeah, it is a lot of work, but it's like a few meetings, and then there's three late nights, one super late night. Like last Thursday night went till 2 a.m. It was 2 a.m. when I got home.
Wow.
And then Friday night was, and that's just putting stuff into the computer and assembling stuff. And then Friday night, that was only 10:45. And then Saturday was all done by night. You get there Saturday afternoon, everything's set up. There's chairs, there's tables, there's excitement. It's like, oh, how's this going to go? And then at 9 o'clock, everything's put away. There's two people standing in the gym. Everything's swept up and it's over. Well,
that's
see
it.
You in 11 months.
Then you head to rails.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. We order rails in.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What we did a couple times and bring pizza in. But it's like, yeah, one of the guys is like, dude, can you imagine anything better than us assembling all this stupid stuff? I mean, we're not in a, it's not stupid stuff. I mean, we're going to make money on
right,
it. But it's
yeah.
like an endless boxes right. of bicycles and grills and all of these things that have to be assembled for the auction. He's like, you imagine this would be no better than if we could be drinking beer right now.
Right.
And we're like, man, if you weren't like a responsible citizen and I wasn't a responsible, man.
He's responsible like, citizens right,
next
drink
year,
beer.
Next year, not in school. That was
oh,
our hangout.
Oh, yeah.
That
okay.
was our
that
hangout.
Part. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's
now
like,
that you
dude,
say it
next
that
year,
way.
We're having all of this stuff delivered to my shop, and we're gonna install this in my shop,
there
and we're
going to
drink beer
there
while we
you
put
go.
This all together.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yes. So, it's like, that's yes. going to, that, I said, Cody, you are brilliant. And, you know, I built my shop for stuff like this. All right.
That yes. is how a lot of shops get used, primarily.
True. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. Wrenching. And, you know, drinking a little bit. Now, that's a big change coming for next year. But, no, it was really
suddenly
well.
The bikes don't track quite right. And is that how I suppose?
Right. I assembled this big chair, and I sat in it, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if it's rated for, you know, nearly 300 pounds. But she held, and the spring sucked itself all back up to where it started. So I thought you'd get out, and the spring would just stay completely sprung out.
And you said to yourself, well, I'm not going to sit back in there again.
Nope. Yep. But it went really well. It started at 4 and was done by like 7. So, and cleaned up by 9. Good time. Everybody had fun. So we had two old 70-inch televisions from school that were like 2015, 16, 17 models.
Mm-hmm.
So not worth a lot, but still, if you have a shop,
or a game room, a 70-inch TV. Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
Yep. Right.
So we auctioned these two 70-inch TVs off at the same time. So your highest bidder, you want one or you want both?
Right.
Okay, we want just one. Okay, so would other people, would you take it for the same money? Well, yeah, it's charity, sure. And then we had the great idea at like after 1 a.m. in the morning that after you sell both TVs, we could only find one remote. So we
auctioned off the remote.
Well, there are fun-loving people in the world, and there are more serious people in the world. One person...
Cancel my bid.
One person, the fun-loving, laughing at everything, even if it pisses them off. You know those people.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, Dutch.
Right.
And they purchased the remote, and the other people were not... They didn't really see the humor in it. And I'm looking and I'm seeing it. And one of the other guys on the committee seeing it. And we're like, okay, 1 a.m. idea turned out not to be such a good idea.
Well, you already had their money.
So we quick collected $40 in cash. And I ran over and made it sound like it was our idea the whole time. That we would just give the person that didn't get the remote $40 to go get the universal remote and this and that.
You can buy like four universal remotes for that.
Yeah, you really can. Yeah.
But the original remote went for $40.
Oh, so
I was like, okay, give me $40. I'm going to go talk to these people.
We gave you the $40 that the generous person gave for the remote.
Well, then I went and sat by them and come to find out they weren't upset. I was just being oversensy.
Go figure.
I know. But man, that was like breathing a sigh of relief because I was like, oh man, guys, we just screwed up.
So then once
you... It was really funny at 1 a.m.
Once you found out that they weren't pissed, did you ask for the money back?
Well, they told me to keep the money. They're like, we don't want the money.
Okay.
So, okay. And I was like, okay, all right. This is like, everything's rolling really well. We're getting towards the end, and then we just piss these people off. Great. But one of the guys is the son of an auctioneer. He used to work with Dad, and he's been to a pile of auctions. And we're like, hey, you like working these kinds of... Cause he's a bid caller. Mm-hmm. Do you like
cleaning gals here? Yeah, I do have a cleaning gal.
Get her back here. Yeah.
Does she know this back room exists? Apparently not.
Apparently, we don't. She says we don't pay enough for that part.
Huh. And we said to him, do you like working these? He says, I love working these types of charity events. He said, sometimes working like the sportsman's events, where there's booze involved. Right,
yeah, yep.
And then if you don't see somebody or you accidentally sell something that somebody wanted and was bidding, in this environment where booze isn't involved, everyone just laughs it off.
Mm-hmm.
But you get some fellas drinking and they take it personal, and then you get some shouting and some real anger.
And there's guns there.
And he said sometimes those sportsmen's banquets aren't really that much fun to be the auctioneer at, because there's some fellas that get a little pissed about these things that can happen. And they said the struggle of being an auctioneer at that type of stuff, it's primarily a social event.
Yeah.
People did not come to buy stuff. They did. But 90% of them are visiting and 10% are paying attention. And at a real auction, you've got 100% of the people paying attention.
Is she like legit trying to...
Like, how is that so loud from across the way?
The door must be open and she must... turn the volume up on the vacuum. Did you actually change your own oil? I see that your hands are dirty.
Did you see that? I caught him.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, he caught a fly.
Oh! Well,
it's a late season fly. That doesn't count.
True.
Try that with a summer fly.
And it was probably feasting on the empties here, so probably drunk as a skunk.
Yes, I changed my own oil today. I had to, man. I was going to go over the allotted amount on the way to Minneapolis.
Wow.
I thought, I've actually had the oil and filter sitting around for a while. I changed with Asa, so it took frickin' forever. Change his oil last Saturday morning before the auction. I thought I could get my pickup done too, but I didn't. But no, it's important. Teach your boys to change their oil. Man, it takes them forever to do it though.
But does one of your shops have a pit?
No. Just drive up on some blocks and put some clean cardboard down.
Mm-hmm.
And slide on in there and get her done. Yeah, our school auction, pretty successful. I think it's not a it's probably 15,000 more than last year. So
that's pretty good.
Incredible step up again. So then pressure's on for next year.
Are you off the committee now?
No, this was the second year, so I got two more years.
You got two more years.
That's the hard part.
4 years.
You've got six people, and you're working like a well-oiled machine. I thought last year we worked like a well-oiled machine, and then two people dropped off, and I'm like, I don't know how we're going to replace these two people. Being on a committee where everybody gives a crap and everybody pulls their weight is a joy. When I've been on city councils where that isn't the case. Maybe you have too.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on other committees where that isn't the case, and I know you've had that.
Yes.
And when you've been part of a team that's close and everybody pulls more than their weight and you get incredible things done, it's such a joy. But then all of a sudden you lose two of the people. And we're going to lose two of the people this year now again. It's like, oh man, who are we going to get? But the two people that stepped up this year, they were just incredible. And they were two people that didn't grow up in the society in Sanborn.
Oh.
And the society being the parents and the grandparents that of the children that go there. That's the society. But otherwise, the rest of us are pretty close to being part of the society. But so you get really good at it, and then you say, see you later, two of you. Hope the next two that come in don't suck. But the nice part is it's not like a ballot deal. You're picking. But you're taking your best guess.
But right? It's not like...
You're like, well, they're a dipshit. They're a dipshit. Oh, they're pretty good.
Just kidding.
I'm not kidding.
It's not
you
like,
literally do that.
But it's not like you have, I got to stack applications this thick. I mean,
right. But these two people, come to find out, are people that if you ask them to do something, they give it 100%. They give more than 100%. It blew me away.
And isn't that something where when you actually get that, you know, 100% that you're...
I was joking with someone that I said, when I came on the committee, I was joking. I said, I felt I'd be one of the top performers, you know, because I'm coming on out of the way, everybody. Big daddy's here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, and now you're worried when these other people leave, you're going to be exposed as the weak link.
Yes. Yeah. I told the guy, I said, out of the six of us, I am the sixth, literally the sixth. And to come in with that type of a thought process and then come to realize.
Wait a second. You mean everyone's top 100% isn't just quote unquote good enough? Wait a second. What the shit is this?
So your biggest contribution is picking the other two people more so than what you're actually doing.
True leadership.
Right?
Yeah. Real leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't lead by example. You lead by abdication, I guess. I don't know.
I crack the jokes. Yeah, well, that's my job.
And keep it light. Keep it light.
And go get the pizzas. I did that.
Well, I know you got to go get the beers.
Yeah, Bible and beer tonight. We switched it up to... Otherwise, we're always alternating weeks from the podcast. Mm-hmm. But then every once in a while, it gets switched up, and here we sit.
Yep.
So I really restricted intake because I've got, you know, two stops tonight. Mitch is zipping up his coat.
Yep.
I accidentally zipped my mic cord into my coat. That wouldn't work very well.
I'm surprised you didn't have a zip this whole time. Well, there's a mouse around here. Oh, boy.
Do you got rubber bands I can put around my pant leg?
There's a trident in the corner.
I'll take...
Not all of us are comfortable living with rodents.
You think I live here?
I'm talking to Aaron right now.
I didn't...
Cohabitating with a rat.
Yeah. I do think of you every time I pass the Shouse that's up for auction right now, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the one by Newkirk.
Yeah, yeah. B40. And I remember you saying, like, what seems like 10 years ago, but it was probably more like 5. Like, yeah, you would just want to invite rats into your home. That's how you do it. Park the combine next to your bedroom.
Not every Shouse would be that way, but I had driven by and, oh, look at the brand new Shouse. That looks nice. And here comes the guy with the feed wagon wheeling right into the, and he gets right out. I'm like, you know, I guess at least they have a food source out in the shop. So maybe that would keep him out of your house. But when you're pulling a feed wagon and a manure spreader and stuff into the shop and all there is a little entry door going in, you know damn well you're getting an infestation.
No.
You know full well.
You have to know.
How do you sleep at night knowing that? Right.
I know. Every noise in that house, I would think it was a rat scurrying up behind my headboard.
That was scary.
Yeah.
That was scary.
I don't doubt it.
I was not okay with that. I know how you make it sound. I was not okay with that. This is not okay.
22 by the bedside.
A 22? A 410, man.
Well, he's got the 20.
Yeah, 410.
Yeah, I guess if they're rats.
Yes. Yeah.
Because now I ain't going to plink little holes and chase him around. I'm taking care of him in one shot, but not too big of a shot.
But I can't imagine that rats compress themselves into the types of tiny spaces that mice do.
You'd be amazed at the little hole that when we finally caught him, when he come under the door and right onto the sticky traps right outside the door where we saw he was attempting to make his escape. Very small hole.
And that was
probably the size, I wouldn't be surprised, much, much bigger than a quarter.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And what was his, when he was at full bore, how girthy was he?
Small terrier?
This beer can. We still have the popcorn Chex Mix barf bowl that the kids put on top of it that has that rat trap sticky stuff still on the side of that bowl.
And it's that not in the burn pile?
It's still good for barfing.
Right.
Wow.
Popcorn, even the popcorn doesn't touch the ass to get the
black plague for crying out loud.
Whatever. We have vaccines. We're good, man. It's all right.
Yeah. Go ahead and live with rats. I mean, you know, he's been vaccinated.
Okay, calm down, Eastsider. Calm down. Quit looking down your nose at us. Hey, if you want to sponsor the podcast.
Quit making it so easy to do. Jeez.
Gosh. If you want to sponsor the podcast and have a smug SOB like Mitch read whatever you want him to read, you have the opportunity. You can do that. $75 is all it takes, or 50 plus beer. And we have a Venmo at DBA Pod if you want to just help, you know, hydrate. And if you're cheap but still want to contribute, just tell a friend. That's all it takes. And until next time, we'll see you.
This is just a tribute. You gotta believe it, and I wish you were there. Just a matter of opinion. So surprised to find you can't stop me now. I'm falling, really, I'm falling. Rich motherfucker, what's your chance?
What the hell's that?